Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and we are so grateful that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. Going to give you a little bit of a background on where this podcast was born. It's from my company, I Am Creative, where the mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to recognize and own their talents that come in so many different forms. So in this space, I get to talk to so many inspiring people that have jobs, hobbies, and interests that have varied from people like hormone biohacker, real estate agent, Reiki master, actress, lawyer, doctor, and so many more. And the conversation is structured around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation. We see where it goes from there. So my inspiring guest for today, who I'm so happy she could join because internet was not happening in her house, so I'm so happy that she's here, is Stacey Opright. This is the shortest bio I have read also, and this doesn't mean that she doesn't have a ton to say. She's straight into the point. She is a wife, a mom of three, a business owner with a holistic wellness company called Arbonne for 8 years, and she has a huge passion for helping people, mindset, and holistic wellness. She has such, this is my addition, she has such a calm demeanor and so much going on at all times. She is so inspiring.
Oh my gosh, well, thank you.
You're welcome, it's true.
So it's Stacey, a true miracle to be together today. I'm like, wow, my internet is I think working and you can hear me. So that's, I mean, I think we're just off to a great start already.
We are. I am so grateful to the gods of the internet gods. So thank you. So Stacey, before we dive into it all, do you have anything that you want to add to the bio?
No, I think you did an awesome introduction, and thank you. I just wanted to say thanks for the opportunity. I know that we have known each other for a few years, and it's funny, as I was like kind of thinking about these questions and reflecting, I'm like, well, I really think you're one of the most creative people that I know. So this is interesting. Maybe I could learn from you here. So no, I think the bio was great.
Oh, you're so sweet. And this is going to be a good conversation. But we're going to start off with a would you rather question. And I decided I had one originally but I'm going to change it. So Stacey, if you were stranded on a desert island, would you rather be alone or with someone who talks nonstop?
Oh man, that... I think I'd rather be with somebody that talks nonstop. I don't know. I mean, I like being alone, but I'm also a huge people person. So that's really funny. I am notorious for that game, just saying, I don't know, I would choose neither, but you can't really do that. That's sort of cheating. So I think I would do the person that talks, because I'm definitely a talker myself. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I can relate. And I feel like you could tell somebody to just shut up, like after a while, if you were there, or you could distance yourself. Yeah. But I feel like it's important to have another person. I've had people say immediately, no, want to be alone.
Like, so. And at times that would be nice, right? Like you go to that side of the island, I'll be on the side of the island, we'll meet in the middle and then we'll both talk. Like that would be perfect.
Exactly. That's a balance. There we go. As in the title here, I use the word balance in the title of our talk. Mm-hmm. So that's a good happy medium. It's a balance. Okay, Stacey. So first official question is, how do you define creativity?
Yeah, I love that. You know, that's the first time anyone has ever asked me that question. And I was like thinking about it today. I'm like, creativity, like we all use that word. We all have creativity. We are all creative. But I'm like, how would I personally define that? So I had to think about that a little bit. So for me, I mean, and I think everyone can define that in a different way. But for me personally, I thought about what does that mean in my life and how does that come to play in my life? And so I think for me, creativity means using my imagination to bring something, you know, from the imagination, from the non-physical into the physical. And I've learned that just through a lot of mindset work that I've done, actually we've done together, but we're all creative. We're all creators, whether we know that or not. And so I was like, that's kind of like a blanket a blanket definition for me of regardless of what area of my life that is, I feel like that's really what creativity and what creating means to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the formal definition of creativity is the formation of an idea or an object. And like you, it's taking, like what you said, it's taking something from the imagination to something being something physical. Mm-hmm. And in what you said in the beginning, it was just making me think, which is, of course, the whole mission of my company, is that so many people put this definition within a very structured way, a societal way, which has been creativity is when, you know, it's for people that are visual artists. It's for people that know how to like really do something well within that space. Dancers, musicians, like within that traditional idea, which is, yes, I went to art school. It's, you know, I totally am not taking away from that stage. But it's for me, the mission also is to open it up to people who are in business, people who are in science, people who are doing yoga, people who are like that it's exercising, that it's an expression. It's within everything that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about what you mentioned with societal norms and things like that. Think about it. Like every kid you see, you know, even if you don't have little kids, if you've ever been around little kids, you know, like they're so creative. Like they just use their imagination. They're so creative with everything. And I feel like as a kid, I was that way. And then somewhere along the line, I remember telling myself for many years, even into adulthood, like, oh my gosh, I'm not creative. Like that is not my gift. I'm just not creative because I put, like you just said, I put creativity in my mind was like, I'm not artistic or I'm not a singer or, you know, I had this certain idea of what it was when really it's anything, you know, you can create anything. It doesn't have to be just because I'm not an artist or an art teacher doesn't mean I'm not creative. So yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, I love the word that you started off with, and it's simple, but it's powerful, is imagination. Because as adults, I mean, what do you think about that? You said it in a sense where you kind of got cut off at a certain point, you know, as we got older. But everybody has a different story, but that whole thing of using our imagination. And is it okay to use our imagination? When is it appropriate to use our imagination? All of these ideas, I mean, we get so stifled.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember in a training I did, Bob Proctor, you probably remember this too. He had shared, you know, the world's like biggest companies and corporations, you know, all globally, they have like these really small creative departments. He's like, why? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you think about the power to create, it goes from, yes, art, but to business and parenting and everything we just talked about. So why would these huge corporations have these small little, you know, creativity or creative departments? It made no sense, he said. So I was like, yeah, I get that.
Right, because it's, and yeah, I mean, touching on first, I mean, there's so many aspects to touch on, but like talking about, yeah, you're an entrepreneur, you have your own business. I mean, you work for a company, but tell us about that, because tell us a little bit about what you've done. Like you're with Arbon now, you can tell us about that, but then also what you did prior to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my professional background is in recreation therapy. So I actually worked at a nonprofit with at-risk youth. So kids that ages 5 to 18 that had pretty severe mental health or behavioral disorders. And so it was a super rewarding job. I absolutely loved it. It was really challenging, but really fun actually and rewarding because you could see these kids come in at a certain point. And I had a really great, I had a really great rapport with a lot of the kids because as a recreation therapist, I mean, our main goal was to use recreation and leisure and play in a creative way to really, as a form of therapy, to help these kids really embrace like their natural gifts and talents and really come out of their shell and to talk about things that they needed to work through. And it was really cool, like in a really non-threatening way. So I loved that. So as far as creativity goes, I had to be really creative in that regard, just with programming and, you know, coming up with all the activities and processing through things with these kids. But so then I actually transitioned into business and, you know, same thing, very similar. I think no matter what career you're in, you have to, you really do have to be creative, especially I think for myself in this last year, being really creative, switching from meeting people in person and really sharing about wellness and educating people and empowering people in like a group setting in person. And really for me, switching to all online, that was kind of a challenge, but you know, to be creative and like, how can we still share this message? How can I still serve and help people in a different way? All be, you know, all different and new, but something that I had to kind of adapt to.
Right, right, exactly. And how has that been? Has it been, I mean, honestly, has it been bumpy or has it been a pretty smooth transition?
You know, for me, lucky for me, I should say, is, you know, in the type of business that I'm in, I have mentors that have gone before me that it's sort of like, you know, I'm a leader to my team, but I'm also a follower to the people that have gone before me that have kind of worked out the kinks and things like that. And not that it was always an easy road. And I don't always, I'm a huge people person. I love general human connection, like getting and sitting down belly to belly with someone. Like I love that. And I still will always love that over like a screen or a computer or using Facebook or whatever. But, you know, it was pretty smooth. There had been some people that had been kind of navigating that virtual online world far, you know, a few years ago even, and they have shared a lot of their knowledge and information with us. So we just had to kind of adapt and try it out and put our own spin on it and get creative with how we were going to, you know, get in front of those people and still keep sharing that message. So to be honest, I mean, it wasn't a terrible transition. I still do want to go back to, you know, in person, but I do love the option of having the virtual component too. It's kind of a nice way to still connect with people that aren't right in your backyard.
Definitely. Right. I think that's been one of the hugest takeaways for me. And I think so many people that I speak to is just the connection that literally is worldwide. I mean, not only are we going through this together as like a global event, but it's creating so much connection of people that I never would have met otherwise. I know people now in like all over in England and Australia and in just all different parts in Sweden, you know, and also within the States that I never would have met.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? It's like finding the blessings in those things, because I mean, you're probably still amazed that I even, because technology, if you didn't know, is not my gift. So it's really funny. You're like, wow, she even made it on. I'm impressed. But like, so for me to embrace technology was like, I was like resisting it for so long, but I'm like, all right, come on, Stace, you gotta put yourself out there. And it is, you're right. I too have met just a lot of really cool people that are not in the area that I'm in that I would have never met had it not been for technology. So, you know, embracing that and being grateful for those connections too is really, I think, important.
Yeah, definitely. But thinking about what you said before, like some key words that I highlighted as you were talking, like when you mentioned the recreation therapy, was words like play, expression, embracing, and then a big part of it so much is problem solving. When you were saying like anything, I mean, we're constantly solving problems, and you could look at it as putting out fires or you could look at it as just building, because that's how you take an idea and you transform it from the imagination to a reality of how many changes, how many different variations can it go through, and understanding that it's just not going to be a straight line. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns until you get to that point, and a lot of screaming potentially. And but then you get there and then you're like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah, that reminded me of I used to do this activity with the kids I worked with. I should do this with my kids. I have three kiddos myself. They would like this, I bet. I would just, I mean, something so simple. I mean, any parents or anybody, any teachers or anybody out there that could use this, it was so awesome. And if you want to see kids' creativity just like blossom before your eyes, do this. So I would just take regular paper, computer paper, it could be in the recycle bin, right? Like something that you're just going to throw away and reuse it. And they formed little groups, teams of two or three, and they just kind of separated themselves. And I said, the only directions were build a tower as big, as tall as you can build it in X amount of time. as much time as they had. And you just let their imagination go wild. And I had some tape and some scissors and things like that. But you would think everybody, you know, oh, they'll build it this way or that way. Every single time, no matter how many times I did that, it was different. And it was cool to just like then process that with them afterwards. And you could see, you know, people would get frustrated or it would collapse or whatever. But like what you're just talking about, there might be some screaming. I recall that a few times, but that's part of the whole growth journey, right? Like that's the whole point of that. You work through these things. And that was totally a creative activity, and but also just disguised in this really, I don't know, simple, fun thing for kids to do, or grown-ups too, for that matter.
Grown-ups too, definitely, because I've done stuff like that with adults, and it's really a great way to create teamwork and communication, and fine motor skills, and problem solving, and all of this kind of stuff. Like, it's incorporating all these things, getting people to have conversations that they wouldn't normally have. You get to see who are the leaders, who are kind of the followers. All of those things kind of come out. And it's so cool.
Yeah, and sportsmanship too. It was interesting, you know, to talk about the sportsmanship between two, you know, the teams, and also just like anger management. Like, I mean, we've all been in a situation where we're trying to do something and it's not going the way we thought it was going to go. It's frustrating, right? And like, even for some adults, like, it's hard, and it can be hard to handle those emotions. So helping kids really handle those emotions and work through those emotions, and it's okay to be frustrated. Like, let's talk about this. And then what did you do differently? So yeah, that was just a cool thing that popped to mind when we were talking about that. So kind of off topic, but I thought it was a fun thing to share.
It's not off topic at all, because I think this is everything that we're talking about. And I want to welcome the person who just joined on live. So happy that you're here. If you have any questions or comments, just please put them in the chat box below, and we'll get to them. But I think it's really important to talk about the emotions and how to create, set up situations for people to experience them. Because I think all of these things actually play a part in how people are able to be creative, and how they're able to express themselves, how they're able to communicate, how they're able to handle situations when things don't go well. Because so many times people, I've seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it too, when people shut down because they're not doing any of those things that I said. And when they shut down, then everything gets tight and nothing comes of it. Nothing good comes at that point, because people are either saying, well, I don't want to do it anymore, when they really do want to do it. But yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I once did a project, you're making me think, in the classroom too, where I saw it online, and then I did it with a third grade class, and they created cars out of pasta. And we set up a race. And so the only rules were is that they were using glue, tape, and pasta. And the cars, they could work on it in a group or alone. And the car was going to be able to, it had to, we would see which car went the farthest. And of course, not a surprise, the kid that had the most, was always getting in trouble, was the most focused during this.
Which
wasn't a surprise to me.
No,
that's usually keep your body still, but they're so, they're
absolutely,
their mind is always thinking and going, just very imaginative.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we would see that all the time, you know, just in like a therapy setting. It's so evident. I mean, and I think about even as myself, I always think about it, like as it pertains to myself and put myself in their shoes. Like, it's hard for a grown up to sit for X number of hours, or to sit in front of a Zoom call for X number of hours. So and we're expecting children and kids to do this, like, you know, and so just incorporating some of that creativity, or some of those more hands-on, versus like, here's a worksheet or let's do this lesson. Like, kids can learn, in my opinion, and I've seen it just through my experience and with my own kids, like they learn obviously in different ways, but with more hands-on and experimental type, you know, they learn a lot by doing versus just hearing and seeing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking of my daughter who had she spoke the most about her science class with this teacher who all he did was hands-on stuff. And she would come home talking about the class and saying what she learned, and that was the only class she talked about.
Yep.
So
And those are
it's
the things she'll probably remember, forever. When she's a grown adult, she'll remember that class.
exactly. So let's talk a little bit about parenting before we get to the second one and the creativity within the parenting, because you have three kids. Tell us how old your kids are.
My oldest son just turned 9 last week, which is crazy. So I have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and my daughter will be 4 next month. So 9, 5, and almost 4.
Happy birthday to him. Yay.
I know. Yes, it was great. He was excited.
So wait, there was something really cool. Was it your birthday? I remember you posted something that was, they did something really cool for you.
Oh yes, my husband had them do that. It was, I don't even know how to describe it. They did just like this big piece of art for me. They surprised me actually, because I was out of town at a leadership retreat that weekend, and I came back and they had this, I don't even know if you'd call it a mural. It's more like abstract art, I feel like is what you would call it. But they set it up in my basement, in our basement, and they had little buckets or little cups with different colored paint, and they each had a different color, and they hung it on a string, and they like held it back and they let it go, and it kind of does, it does like a design. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it without showing the picture, but yeah, it was so cool. And it's hanging up in my bedroom now, actually, on my wall. So
It's like the artist, you know, the artist Jackson Pollock.
I don't.
Jackson Pollock was an artist back in the 50s. He actually started the idea of splatter paint and this abstract expressionism in that way. And he took paint and he would literally drip it and throw it on the canvas. So yeah,
That sounds like my kind of guy. Like, I feel like I could do that.
he was the first person to kind of be known for how he like layered it and textured it and threw things into it and all this kind of stuff. I'll send you a picture of his work. But yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
But I said parenting because, you know, when I say parenting and creativity, like, what do you think of when I say that?
Well, I think for, I mean, when you say that, I feel like typically people think creativity, like how to help your kids be creative. But for me, I'm like, how can I be creative as a parent, and not only like do things alongside of them, but I mean, it's sort of like one of those, I feel like it's one of those pick your battle type things. There's certain things I've gotten really creative with over the years that have nothing to do with creativity, so to speak, quote unquote, like art. It's more like, okay, am I going to race him to the school door so he doesn't cry right now? And I'm going to race back, like just little things like that. I'm like, dude, that's creative. I'm like, I'm thinking here.
It is. That's incredibly creative because it's that whole problem-solving thing. Yeah, it's funny because I always think it's like they don't come. I mean, I have two, and they're older now, but they don't come with a manual. And
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
you're figuring it out. And yeah, I remember when we brought home our first, who's going to be 21 on Monday, which is crazy.
Oh
And
my gosh.
when we brought him home and then put him on the dining room table, and our cats jumped up to sniff him. And Arthur and I, my husband and I, looked at each other and we were like, well, what do we do now?
Like, what do we do?
We're entrusted with this life now.
I know it's a big deal, right? It's like one of those things. It's like there's no turning back. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it comes out in so many ways, whether it's what we're making for supper to what we're gonna play. It's we have an age difference of 5 years between my oldest and youngest. So what my oldest son likes isn't necessarily what my daughter, who's almost 4, likes. But like being creative in activities and games that will get them together, to come together, and family activities, and what can we do, and getting out in nature, all of those things. And I mean, they're incredibly creative. It's just really fascinating watching them interact together. And it's not my doing, it's theirs. They're super awesome, but
Yeah, I mean, but it's that like it is true when you watch kids, and every kid is different. So it's like when you see that some are so much more open and willing to take risks and okay to fall and just get up, where some are more sensitive and a little bit more reserved and questioning. And yeah, it's just pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
So let's take it in terms of leadership also. So within your company, saying maybe if you could just say a little bit more about what your role is in that company and how you see creativity within your role there.
So I think I mentioned earlier, so my professional background, and then I started Arbonne at, I'm an independent consultant with a holistic wellness company called Arbonne. It's phenomenal. I've been with Arbonne for about 8.5 years now. I've been using the products and just fell in love with the company about 12 years ago, right out of college. But I started doing Arbonne right alongside my full-time job. And then when I got pregnant with my second son, I ended up stepping away from that career, really just to be a present mom, but also because I'm really passionate about this. So really what we do is we educate and empower people around holistic wellness. And we just, a big part is to open people's eyes to just the toxins and the chemicals and the things that are in everyday products that people are using that are not good and that are not safe. And we have just a safer, healthier alternative, which is awesome that we, I just still to this day, I'm like, okay, this is my quote unquote job. Like I get to do this. I would be using these products anyway, and I get to talk about them and share them with people and do what I love. And so it's really incredible. But as far as creativity and that goes, yeah, I think just with the ever-changing world, like that's just something that's never going to go away. I think as a leader, you have to be able to pivot and it change with the times. I kind of mentioned that with the technology shifting this last year and going to 100% virtual, like that was a huge shift for me. And just being creative in the ways that we share our message and the way that we get in front of people and the way that we get referrals and the way that we help people, even through our healthy living program and meal planning and all of that stuff, it just kind of goes hand in hand. So I've seen a lot of creativity personally just in my kind of my meal planning and my food, which sounds silly, but it has been huge for me just in my life. Like that has been something that I've never loved doing, but just being creative in what I'm eating and fueling my body properly, that is very much in line with my business as well. So yeah, those are just a few things off the top of my head of, how I've been creative through this process.
Yeah, and I remember like before, it was a while ago when I saw one of your team members also doing like a live in order to, like, there were challenges and there were ways to show how to make shakes and like these kind of things in order to get people excited to want to participate.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely. And
that whole
I think,
play piece to get people engaged.
oh, for sure. And I think one of the biggest things about our company is the community. I mean, it's really all about human connection and the people. Like to have a safe place that has good energy and fun people that people want to be a part of, and bringing people into that is, it's just awesome. It's like you can't find that energy in a lot of places. And so, yeah, there's a ton of things. There's a lot of people on our team that are, I mean, they have so many talents and gifts. Like people are really good. They'll like whip up a Google sheet and be like, okay, we're going to talk about this, and this. I'm like, okay, I will sign up for something, but I'm not going to like make the Google sheet or anything. So like, it's just funny because we can all work together and kind of share our gifts in that way. And highlight what we're good at. I think that's another thing. Like, focus on what you're really good at. I think for a long time, I was like, oh, let me, I have to get better at this and I have to get better at that. Like, there's a lot of things I'm actually already super good at that I could just like maybe capitalize on those. And yes, you can always get better and improve on things, but like, let's focus on what we're good at and what brings us joy, right? And I just think that's the best way to flourish in anything that you do.
That I think that is so key in what you just said. I think that comes with experience. I think it comes with, I mean, for me, I'm finding, and anybody correct me if you think differently, but I think it comes with age. Of that idea of focusing on what you're good at, that you don't have to be good at everything. You don't have to, you can acknowledge your strengths and weaknesses and be okay with that. It's this whole perfectionist thing. People get, we, and I get so, I'm guilty of it too. I get caught up in it. And I've so much more aware and learning how to release that and be like, no, you know what? That's somebody else is really good at that. I want to get better at it, like you said, but you know, I can hand it over to somebody else. Because
yeah,
that is what brings us joy when we're doing what we're really good at and not fighting it or struggling. We're happy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's just when things flow, right? I mean, you've experienced it. I've experienced it. Anybody that, I think everybody's experienced it, but not everybody probably understands what that is, right? Like when you're in alignment and you're in flow, like things, that's what it means. Like they flow, like things are going to come to you and you're going to attract the right people, places, circumstances, and events. Like it should be fun. It should be easy. And if it feels like a struggle all the time, like shift gears, maybe.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's like, I don't remember what movie it was, but whenever something was happening, he would say, pivot, pivot. Sometimes I don't even remember what it was, but sometimes I hear that in my head. And I hear it in his voice where he says, pivot, pivot.
You like have his voice and you're, yeah, that's funny. One of my friends has said, you know, if you start hearing like a negative thought come up in your mind, you know, like to have it to just like to be more aware of that. She was like, say it out loud, say cancel, cancel, just like say cancel. And so we always were joking. People are walking around all day, cancel, cancel.
You have like Tourette's where you're just like, cancel.
Yeah. Like whatever works, you're just retraining your mind to think more positively, right? Not doubt yourself.
Exactly. So funny. Okay, well, let's move on to question two, which we've kind of touched on, but I'll see if you bring anything else up from it, which is how do you incorporate creativity into your own life? So we talked about work.
Yeah, I think.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I had jotted down a few things, which I think we've highlighted a lot of them. I put, yeah, with my business, we talked about that. With parenting, we talked about that. I'd mentioned food a little bit to elaborate just a bit.
Yeah.
With that, as an adult, I discovered that I have a gluten and dairy intolerance. And so just through a lot of research and self-study and Arbonne's Healthy Living Program, I have gotten super creative in, like I mentioned, my meal planning and just the way that I fuel my body and the way that I eat, which has been a huge blessing. And, you know, if somebody would have told me when I was like in college that I couldn't have gluten or dairy, and it's not that I can't have that, I just don't feel good when I do. So it's a choice, right? But I try to choose to not have that because I want to feel good. And so it's been cool to be creative with these different recipes. Like I now am at the point where I can look at any recipe and I can pretty much make it just based on some substitutions and some things that I've learned over the years of like what will serve me better, which has been really cool. And then to be able to share that with my family and my friends and, you know, even my kids like that stuff too. So that's been cool.
Mm-hmm. I just have to say, I like how you said, instead of just eating or meal planning, you said in fueling my body. You know, I really like the way that you, that in that wording, it makes it sound so much, I don't know, more positive, not just like, what am I eating today? But it's like, how am I fueling my body?
Right. Yeah. When you really shift your mindset on that and you think about it, like what really is food? Food is, it can be two things. It can be fuel or it can be a slow poison, unfortunately, with a lot of the processed foods that we have in our society. But when you really think of it in that way, like instead of thinking what I shouldn't have or what I can't have, I'm like, what can I have? Or how can I create this to be something that's healthy, but also still really delicious? And I'm not feeling like deprived or like I can't have the things that I like. I never feel that way because I've learned to make some different choices, which has been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
And then the other thing too, I was, you know, as far as lifestyle, like how do you incorporate that? I think for me, a huge thing is, has been meditation. Over the last few years, I have had a meditation practice, which is really powerful. And, you know, you and I had gone through a mindset program and different things. And I just, that opened my mind to the power of meditation and the power of your imagination, bringing thoughts to things and manifestation and all of that. So I think honestly, that's one of the biggest ways that I use creativity in my everyday life is through my meditation practice.
So can you give us an idea of what that looks like? You can say Hollis if you want to, but.
Yeah, no, you can. I mean, it might look different every day. So I have an app on my phone. There's a bunch of them out there. I mean, there's a Headspace app, but I personally use Insight Timer. I've been using it for about 4 years. And there's guided meditations or guided visualizations on there that you can, I mean, literally thousands of free guided meditations that you can choose from. Or there's even just like a timer that you can put on some background noise. But the whole purpose really of meditating is to quiet your mind. If you're a person that worries a lot or you have anxiety, or I mean, anyone can benefit from meditation. I've got my kids doing meditations now. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Like, this
Do
is
you
great. Like, teach
really?
them when they're
That's
little. So,
amazing.
yeah, I'm like, man, I wish I would have known this when I was a kid. You know, like, still to this day, it's so cute. My 5-year-old, his name's Flynn. He's like, Mom, you mean you're like 35 and you're just learning this, and I already know this stuff, and I'm only 5? I'm like, yeah, babe. Like, you're so lucky. Like, you're so ahead of me. But yeah, quieting your mind, right? Like, it's just powerful to kind of drown out the noise. There's so much noise and so much distraction and so much information overload, I think, for kids and grown-ups this day and age, with technology and work and social media and all of that stuff. It's just an opportunity to go within. And I just think it's one of the most powerful things you can do, for yourself.
I love your kids are so lucky that you are gifting this to them at this age, because it really is something that, I mean, it is a newer thing in more of a mainstream sense that kids are being exposed to, or that more adults are being exposed to, which then can transfer to the kids. When I was teaching at my last school, there was actually a yoga program, and it was so
Awesome.
amazing that kids as young as kindergarten were doing yoga.
Yeah,
And
that's funny. My kids in school, the kids now have a they have PE, gym, their regular PE class, but now they have a class called mindfulness PE. And they're doing things like breath work, and they're doing yoga. And I mean, I'm like, wait, I'm like, so what'd you do in mindfulness PE? I'm like, that is awesome. They learned about being, I think one day they were talking about, I can't remember what word they were, but it was about being present and doing deep belly breath to like be present. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is the stuff I used to do, like, with the kids that I worked with. But now, I mean, they're doing this. We live in a small town with a small school, but I'm like, that's incredible. Every school should be doing that.
Yeah, they should. And they've done actual studies on like within inner city, and kids that were often where there was a lot of behavioral issues going on, and where instead of detention areas, they had mindfulness areas, and incorporating them. And after a period of time of learning these techniques, yeah, I mean it went down a lot. And
Yeah,
I know that
absolutely.
when I did it in my classroom, there was this little boy. He was like a string bean. He was only in kindergarten, and he was this little string bean, but he is powerful. He's very strong, and he was just kind of all over the place. But I would put on that. Have you seen in the Calm app that bubble where it expands and contracts?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I can imagine what you're saying though. Like, it's showing like breathing almost, like it's going up and down.
So it's a circle, and and when it gets bigger, you're breathing in, and when it gets smaller,
Sure.
you're breathing out, and it makes a sound with
Okay.
it. So
Okay.
it was only 3 breaths, so it was 30 seconds. And whenever he was, I would do it with my class each time in the beginning of class to get them centered. But with him, sometimes he would just come into my room when he was just having an issue, and I'd put on the breathing bubble, and he would be doing whatever, but then his body would immediately go straight, and he would take in the deepest breath all along.
It's so awesome, but they know, right? Like, they might not know the science behind it or like what it's actually doing in their body, but they know it makes them feel better, right?
Exactly.
Like, kids are just so intuitive. More so, I think, more so than even a lot of adults. It's just, yeah. And I think too, just something like that is as simple as a meditation or a breathing exercise versus a detention or a timeout or whatever people do at different areas or whatever in schools. Or I was in an alternative school, so that was something that we did. But I'm like, man, just what are they getting out of a detention versus what could they get out of a mindfulness exercise that they could take with them and do at home if there's something going on at home that's scary or uncomfortable or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it really is a life changer.
Yeah.
And I think for me, meditation also kind of helped for me when it expanded to the idea of movement and almost being like a walking meditation, because sometimes for me, in that not being able to sit still, but I've gotten much more present personally and able to do that. But that whole idea of moving it into a walk and being by myself and that being a meditation.
Yep, so. Absolutely. And that's a cool thing. Like, there's no right or wrong with it. I am not a person that likes to just like sit around and do nothing. Like I'm trying to work on that, because I'll find myself sitting down and I'll be like, oh, I better go pick that up, or I better go do that, right? But you know, like there's always something you could be doing. So I think for me, meditation too has really helped me get my mind focused, so I'm not so scattered all the time, and just really like collect my thoughts and center myself and feel more grounded. And it's actually for me almost energizing, you know, even when you get into like this deep relaxation, when I come back out of that, I feel more energized to then continue on with my day. And even if it's only, you know, a few minutes or 5 or 10 minutes in the middle of your day, that's awesome. Or in the morning to start your day off, or wherever you have the time during the day to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's also a key point to point out, is that it doesn't have to be for long periods of time. It can be these short little stints, so it doesn't seem so overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's transition into the third question, which is, so why is creativity important in your opinion?
Well, I feel like just based on everything we've talked about, like it's in every part of our life, right? It's just in every aspect of our life, we have the ability to create. And so I think it's important to understand that, first of all, we're all creative, and we have that in us, all of us do. And we all have imagination. So like, it's one of our higher mental faculties. So we have the ability to learn that and to tap into that and to use it to our advantage to create a life we want, a circumstance that we want, like anything. So I mean, it's probably one of the most powerful tools in our toolbox, really, if you think about it, because it encompasses all areas of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like what you just said with the imagination, the ability to create what we want. So it's kind of like in our mindset, in our when we were in that mindset group and thinking about what's now, what's in the present, what's presenting itself, may not always be exactly what we want, but using our imagination to be able to create what we want and see that as being the now. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, and it's kind of a hard concept to wrap your mind around when you don't know that. Like, I remember thinking, but it's the evidence right here. Like, here's the situation that I don't like in my life. And like, how can I have the power to change that? First of all, knowing that you have control over that, your thoughts become things. So what you've manifested in this circumstance is just a reflection of your past thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So if you continue to believe the same thing, or you continue to imagine the same thing, it will come to be. So, but then when you know that, it's also, you hold the power, right? Because so I think, again, back to the meditation piece, and like, if you don't control your mind, somebody else will. So like, or something else will, whether that's society or media or whomever. So I think it's just, it's so important. So important.
Yeah. And yeah, because someone else will. You're exactly right. It's like, you're not just going to have no thoughts. I mean, it's established in some way, either by you having control over it, or somebody else or circumstances having control over it. Yeah. So it's a matter of imagining it and taking the reins in the way that you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's like a perfect way to wrap it up, which is basically putting it out to the audience, like, what are you imagining?
Yeah.
Like, take a moment and think about, what are your thoughts? What are you imagining? And if it doesn't make you feel good, if it doesn't bring you joy, then how can you take the steps to change that? Even the littlest changes, even the littlest tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
to be able.
Yep, I've always said the you know, small changes add up to big changes over time. So it might seem, you know, it could be seemingly insignificant, but really, if you stick with that and create a habit of it, it makes a huge change and a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so think about that all. And Stacy, before we wrap it up, would you like to share out any information on how they can find out more about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Facebook. I'm not a huge Facebook person, but you can find me on there just under Stacy Oprite. I do have a business group that you can find as well. Otherwise, I have a website, which is just my first and last name. So stacyoprite.arbonne.com. You can find me there as well. So Hollis, I wanted to say thanks again for just inviting me to be part of this. I appreciate it. I'm totally honored. I know you've had some very, very incredible. I've listened to some incredible calls that you've done. So the fact that I'm on this side of it, I'm like, I'm so honored to partner with you in this. So thank you for asking me.
Oh my God, you are so welcome. I was going to say, I truly am honored. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk, because what you have to offer is incredible. It's what this space is for, is about hearing people's stories and hearing people's perspectives and seeing the overlaps and seeing the differences. And that's what makes it all incredible. And I love being in this space and hearing all of this. So I'm just so honored that you could take the time, because I know it's not so easy with family and work and everything in order to chat. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
And I so appreciate all the listeners being on live, listening to the replay. This space is all about connecting, inspiring, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can just spread it and empower people to just be the best and truest version of themselves. And if you happen to be on Facebook tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, actually, in my space, I am creative. My husband and I are doing a little cooking. So if you want to
That's awesome. Hey, I could totally take a lesson from you guys in that. That's awesome.
So if you want to, like, we're making, what are we making? Middle Eastern fries and veggie burgers.
My goodness. Well, very, very cool. Well, give a hello to the family from me, and I appreciate it. Maybe I'll pop on if I'm on there at 7:30.
So if you have time. But so everybody, so awesome. I appreciate you, and we'll be talking really soon. So have a good day, night, whatever it is in your part of the world. So we'll talk to each other soon. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.